Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning, May 20th, 2019. There is a lot to get through and plenty of live sport to keep us occupied throughout our Monday morning. Let's start, though, with the footy from yesterday. And we'll start with the early game. Connor Rosie finishing things off for Port Adelaide against the Suns.
Well, it didn't really clear it, Boak, and he's had a big afternoon. Rosie just controlling it in the one hand, and the finish is absolutely sublime.
And Dusty was back to his best at the MCG as Richmond beat Hawthorn by 36 points.
Martin around the corner to Bloston from 51. Look at the flags, look at the cheers. Tigers, they're roaring.
Oh, we've heard that before. Plus, the final game of the round might well be the biggest story. A 93-point hiding for Carlton at the hands of GWS.
Green and Finlayson with a lovely one-hand collect. Onto the boot in a flash. And another goal.
I'm sure there'll be more talked about that. We'll hear from Brendan Bolton what he had to say in his press conference a little later on. But let's head to the A-League Grand Final now, where it went 120 minutes without a goal. It went to penalties. A couple of shockers from Perth, and they cost themselves the championship.
Gershadashat scores! And against the Premiers, against all odds, a long way from home, it is Sydney FC who are the champions of Australia for a record-equalling fourth time.
Plenty to get through from a very busy weekend of Sport Plus. We'll keep you updated on the US PGA. Brooks Koepka still with a comfortable lead.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after 6 o'clock this morning, Half Whitey and Brendan Goddard with you on your Monday morning to dissect all of the footy action. Rodney Eade, the newest coach out of the game, will be joining them from 7. He'll dissect everything with the boys after a pretty interesting round 9 with a couple of upsets thrown in as well. We'll head to the PGA nice and early too with Ben Everill from PGAtour.com and get an update on not only Brooks Koepka but how a few of the Aussies are tracking. Then a big half hour to finish the show. Sam Doherty, Carlton co-captain. He was on the bench last night, as he has been all season. He'll be a very interesting listen after 8 o'clock. Mason Redmond from the Dons after their victory over Fremantle on Saturday night. Michael Lynch from The Age, not only the A-League Grand Final last night, but very late last night, Melbourne Victory sending through an email. They have announced a press conference for later today. Plenty of speculation circling around Kevin Muscat's future. Lynchy will give us the latest on that. He's the dual showman today. It will then be on the verdict after 9 o'clock with Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse. Let's start, though, with the footy. We might start with the biggest story of yesterday as GWS whacked Carlton 20 goals 18, 138 to the Blues 7-3-45. It was an absolute hiding. At one stage, it looked like it could be well over a 150-point victory. The Blues probably pretty lucky in the end that GWS were a little wayward in front of goal. In terms of some of the possession winners, Lockie Whitfield had 40 and kicked 3. Thank you very much. Tim Taranto, 38. Josh Kelly, 35. Toby Green, 34. And Heath Shaw, 31. The best for the Blues was Nick Newman with 29. No other player had over 18 possessions for the entire match. So it was a dark day for Carlton up at Giant Stadium. Let's take a listen to their coach, Brendan Bolton.
Often the way you finish the last quarter can set the tone for the next game. So we talked about just some goals in some phases of play. You know, we wanted to try and at least match in the contested side of the game. Where possible, if we got an open play, try and be bold in the last quarter, don't go safe. So it was about finishing off the right way to set the tone for the following week. I understand the business. I've been here a little while, and today our group didn't deliver. You've seen the worst side of Carlton. You've seen some of the better side efforts in the last few weeks. So our job's about being consistent, and when you don't, external pressure comes. We as a group are really united on our direction going forward, and my job is to make sure that we talk about how to improve. I can't let the outside infiltrate. We know that we'll get some criticism for this game, deservedly so. but that can't blur what we're doing and how we go about it. And that's my job as a leader, but it's our club as a united front needs to continue to do that. We had to rally after the North Melbourne game and we never quite got a result, but we rallied and we need to do it again.
Yeah, very important month coming up for the Blues. They have St Kilda, then Essendon, then Brisbane, and then the Western Bulldogs. So four 50-50 games, although after the performance yesterday, they'd be outsiders in all of those. A 93-point victory for the Giants. Sam Doherty, co-captain, to join us after 8 o'clock this morning. Let's head to the other footy stories from yesterday, and we'll start at the MCG. Great to see Dusty back to somewhere near his best. The Tigers 14-11-95 over Hawthorn 8-11-59. Coach Damien Hardwick here paying tribute to Noah Bolter, who's showing he's got plenty of tricks.
Look, he's had some challenges, there's no doubt. And the great thing about Brandon, the thing I love, is he accepts the areas that he's got to get better at. But also, as a coaching group, I probably didn't understand and back any strengths enough. And that was on me. And to his credit, he's gone on and he's playing some wonderful footy because he's playing his natural game. You know, his ability to run and create and use the ball and mark has just been really evident for me to see, which is really pleasing.
Apologies, that was Brandon Ellis. 35 possessions yesterday for him, 20 kicks, 15 hand passes, 13 marks. Didn't have a tackle, but he was fantastic in providing plenty of run for the Tigers in their comfortable victory over the Hawks. What about Alistair Clarkson? Where does he think they're at the moment?
Yeah, we've been in every contest. I mean, I think we got within a goal or perhaps two goals in the midway through the third quarter, and then we just made a couple of errors that just went, you know, from looking threatening and going forward and just whack, bang, rebound goal. So a little bit of a spirit crusher for us, spirit lifter for Richmond. You know, that was how delicately balanced the game was midway through the third quarter. And we weren't playing great. We were hanging in there somehow. So that's the frustration for us because at different stages we played some good footy and had us in contests. The two games of Richmond and Geelong, they're two top four sides. We've lost the one by 23 points and then today by, I think, about six goals. So, there's enough encouragement in these performances for us to say we're not too far away. But we want to be there right now, and that's the hard part for the players and the club and me as the coach. It's just like, gee, we could be better and challenge. But probably in reality, like I said 2 weeks ago, when you get against the good sides like we did today, where your polish needs to be pretty good, we were just found wanting a little bit.
Alistair Clarkson speaking. Yes, they will hear from the Suns and also Port Adelaide side of things after the Power had a win that got them into the eight, which now looks like this. Geelong on top with 32 points, game behind Collingwood, a further game behind GWS in third, even with Brisbane, Richmond and West Coast. Then Adelaide on 20 points in seventh position and Port Adelaide rounding out the eight also on 20 points. A bit of close run thing after that. Fremantle, Essendon, Hawthorn and the Western Bulldogs and St Kilda all on 16 points, and then it drops away to Sydney a further game back. Melbourne, Gold Coast, North Melbourne and Carlton on the bottom of the ladder. Let's head to the A-League now where, as I mentioned before, 120 minutes without a goal last night. It was tight. Not many shots. It wasn't the most attacking game of all time, but that is pretty typical of a final. Let's have a listen to Steve Corica after Sydney broke through, winning the penalty shootout easily.
You know, I think I've been doubted all my career, mate. So it's special to win the grand final. Won it as a player, and I loved it. It's a very special moment for my family, for myself, but it goes down to the boys, mate. They're the boys that are on that pitch, that work hard every day at training. And I'm very proud and privileged to coach them boys. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones that win football games, not me.
Steve Corica speaking last night. 1 year in charge, one championship for the Sydney FC manager. There was one controversial moment, though. Probably shouldn't have gone 120 minutes because Sydney deserved a goal. Steve Corica here speaking about the VAR that disallowed the goal.
It'd be a lot easier if it was. Put us through the ring. I went to penalties, but yeah, obviously they made a bad decision there. Everyone could see it was onside. Should have been a goal. Got a little bit frustrated with that decision, of course. But, you know, made sure the boys remained focused. I knew in the end, when it goes the distance, that our boys have the mentality, the character. They've been there before, they've done it. And when the pressure's on, they would come up with the goods. And there's a lot of pressure when it goes to penalties. And, you know, our penalty takers tonight did a great job.
As you can imagine, he was pretty praiseworthy of his forwards in that penalty shootout. Didn't want to talk too much about the VAR, but clearly should have been a goal. Mark Bosnich, during the Fox Sports coverage last night, had his say.
I just want to know what they're thinking, because the flag didn't go up then. That's obviously, in my opinion, what they were talking about, the Zulu one, because Lafondre is behind the ball, cannot be offside if we have a look here. So the flag, if it was to go up, should have went up now. It did not go up now. It went after the goal, which you don't know if it was a bit of Lafondre and a bit of Sporanovic. That, for me, is clear and obvious. That's what you've got VAR there for, to say, like, listen, it's a goal. He's onside. So we have a look here. The flag went up just now then, so I would love for an explanation, if we could, after the game, as to who the assistant referee by his flag has gone for Lafondre, which, like I said, is completely confused me. And even more confusing was when Adam Peacock turned around and said the fourth official, Chris Beef, said I was too tight to overturn. What do you mean it's too tight to overturn? It's there for you.
The problem is, as well, you look,
what's the use of having it?
Yeah, absolutely. Just completely bizarre scenes with the VAR last night. But Sydney FC went on to win in the end after penalties. The champions of the A-League, as I mentioned before, big announcement coming from Melbourne Victory later on today. They have called a press conference for this afternoon. So it has been speculated that Kevin Muscat will walk away from his job as manager. Let's head to the golf now. Just a bit of a live update. Brooks Koepka doing it comfortably, as he has done throughout the entire US PGA Championship so far. He's one over through three, but he's minus 11 overall. The next best, Dustin Johnson, five shots behind at minus six. He's one under for the afternoon. The best of the Australians, Adam Scott, he's outright 12th. He's two over through six holes, minus one for the tournament. So five shots off second position there. The next best, all the way down to Jason Day, who's one over for the afternoon, three over for the tournament through 14 holes. Lucas Herbert, we'll wrap to see him make the cut. He finished at plus 12, plus five in his final round. Tiger Woods not making the cut, of course. Now, before we head to the break, we'll check in with the Australian cricket team. It's not too far away, the World Cup, starting in a week and a bit. Justin Langer spoke about Steve Smith and gives us a bit of an insight here into how much he just loves batting.
Bus playing cards, he's just shadow batting the whole time. He is literally, he loves batting. I've never seen, he's just shadow batting. On the sand, he's shadow batting. He's in the shower, he's shadow batting. And, oh, I'm not joking, you should see him, mate. He just loves batting, so he's just batting. So from that point, it's great to have him back. And also, you know, Dave's got that look in his eye. You know, he's really hungry. He's a great player, as we all know. He's so dynamic. He brings so much energy. And that's what we ask from our players. It's like you watch Glenn Maxwell field or bowl or bat. He brings energy. Dave Warner always brings energy to the contest. So it's really nice to have him back. And from a broader perspective, it's nice to have them back as well. They've had 12 months to have a good think about a mistake they and the team made, and I'm sure they'll be better people for that.
Geez, it'd be a nightmare to room with Steve Smith with all that shadow batting. The Aussies to get their campaign underway very shortly. A couple of warm-up games still to come before the real thing starts in a couple of weeks for the Australians. Let's head to the break. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with boxing, racing, tennis, some NBA, and we'll update you on the golf after another couple of holes as well.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Here is Waller at will, and he got through an opening on the inside of the gate pole. Owendale is storming down the center of the track, but it's Waller at will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by two lengths late, a late charge from Longshot Everfast to the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. Waller at will won the Preakness.
Yeah, unlike a couple of weeks ago, Waller at will being allowed a run, and he won the Preakness Stakes yesterday in the US, very early yesterday morning. Speaking of action from the US, yesterday morning as well, Steph Curry was able to lead the Golden State Warriors to another victory over the Trailblazers, 110-99. They now lead that series 3-0.
Possession after possession that breaks your spirit sometimes. Curry for three.
That's good. Steph Curry from downtown.
An 11-point lead. Curry with another 30-point game.
He was outstanding. As I said, 3-0 now in that series. The Warriors look destined for another NBA Finals series. The Milwaukee Bucks, meanwhile, they play the Raptors today away from home. Milwaukee leading 2-0 in that series as well. So if they win Game 3 here, you'd have to say it would be pretty much odds on to be a Warriors-Bucks Finals series. But we will have all those results tomorrow morning as they roll in later this morning. Tip-off there around 9 a.m. To tennis now, and Rafael Nadal has just added another clay court championship to his resume.
It's a ninth title for Rafa in Rome, and a record-breaking 34th Masters 1000.
Yeah, extraordinary stuff from Rafael Nadal. 6-love, 4-6, 6-1 over Novak Djokovic in the Italian Open overnight. So another championship for him in Rome. And that form keeps on hotting up ahead of the French Open. To the NRL now yesterday. Couple of games on your Sunday afternoon. We'll start with the earlier game as Manly upset Cronulla. This was a little bit of a shock.
Dugan coming forward in a real contest. It falls for Kane Elgee. They're in for try number 3.
Yeah, 24 points to 14 over the Sharks away from home. It's now 16 from the last 18 for Manly between these two teams. Des Hasler was very happy with the win.
I guess it was probably the way in which they were given, but we won't talk too much on the negatives. I was pretty pretty impressed with the way we, I guess the way we kept turning them away, so I thought there was some real good signs there about particularly on try line, but the penalties were like it was probably how they received the penalties. So they got the last four before half time, and about the first five or six straight after half time, so we just had no ball. In fact, I think they ended up with 24 out of 27 in the second half, and we were about 11 out of 15. So I know that probably bores you, but it probably doesn't mean much. But from a footballing aspect there, to answer your question, yeah, we didn't have any ball for the second half. So I want you to get that right when you write it tomorrow.
Now into fifth position on the NRL table. Manly, nice to see the Storm in second after 10 matches. Let's head now to the other game where Newcastle were way too good for St George Illawarra. 45 points to 12. And didn't Kalen Ponga put on an absolute clinic?
The Knights with Pearce up to the line. Ponga starts a hole. He's off again. Dufty stopped him. And he crawls over the line to score.
Amazing victory there. Kalen Ponga, the key. A couple of tries for him, and he has really put his name in lights ahead of the start of State of Origin in just a couple of weeks' time as well. So Origin talk will definitely heat up over the next 10 days or so. Now to a little bit of boxing where Deontay Wilder KO'd Dominic Brazil. This was a brutal knockout in the opening round to retain his WBC heavyweight title. Yeah, incredible record now for him. 41 fights, one loss, 40 knockouts. So that was brutal in the opening round. And now talk of a match with Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, starting to swirl. So we'll wait for that. Now back to the footy news from yesterday. We'll start with Ken Hinckley, who was very happy with the Port Adelaide performance after trailing early against the Suns.
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really strong performance by our team. You know, which obviously lacks some experience out there. But you know, Gold Coast, to their credit, have been outstanding all season at keeping games in a really tough environment. You know, and I thought we were, our willingness to be bold early cost us a couple of goals early. I think that's to be clear. But we're not going to stop doing that. We're going to keep taking that game on. But I thought our message at halftime was just to stick at it, boys. And then I thought, as you said, Andrew, a domination in the second half, 44 entries to 9 is, by anyone's language, is a pretty impressive performance by a good young group. I think we had 8, Gold Coast had 3, I think we had 12, less than 50, and they had 11. I think, you know, what you've got to remember is when your method's nice and strong for us, I think our method this year, and we believe we've got some significant depth on our list this year, we're catering for that at the moment. We'd rather not have to cater for as much as we are, but I think the method that we try and play is ingrained in our players, whether they're young or old, and I thought today we were able to execute that. And I was pleased with that, because we've seen sides earlier this year do that to us with some players missing. Richmond, I use as an example. They stuck at their method against us that night, and they end up winning. For us today, I thought we did something similar. We stuck at the method that we like to play.
38-point victory for Port Adelaide over the Gold Coast Suns. 13-11-89 to the Suns, 7-9-51. Now let's head to the other side of the coin. Stuart Dew here, disappointed they couldn't play four quarters of footy.
Yeah, beating around the ball. I guess we delivered what we wanted to do in the first half. You know, had the game on equal terms, or if not ours, but definitely equal. You know, competing well. Beyond that, you know, I think it was 3 front half takebacks to 32. So we're unable to. We're second to the ball, so that's why it's played in their half. Plain and simple. So, which is disappointing because we've showed that we can deliver four quarters. West Coast were the other way around. Didn't come quite what we want to do in the first half, able to respond, but we weren't able to maintain today. But credit to Port Adelaide. They lifted and we didn't go with them. We don't want to get too wrapped up in week to week when we're trying to improve a whole list and a whole development of individual players. So we just keep working away. Just keep training. Keep setting good standards at training and making sure we see some growth, which we do. And then it's about making sure that clicks at the right time altogether. And that's what every team's chasing, really. You know, we're not the only one sitting on 4 losses or 4 or 5 in a row. And we don't want to just focus in on this week. We're looking to make sure that guys are building right habits so that when they get to half time over in Adelaide Oval, they can come out and play well in the second half again.
The middle game yesterday, comfortable victory for the Tigers over Hawthorn. Nice to see Dusty back to somewhere near his best. Here's Dylan Grimes.
He's such a beast and he can fire at any time. And yeah, we always knew he'd be back to his best sooner rather than later. He's been working incredibly hard on certain parts of his game. And I think that takes a few weeks to sort of reap the rewards. But yeah, tonight he was back to his absolute best, I thought, and you know, just a powerhouse in the middle and really damaging up forward, so it's good to see.
And let's finish with Leon Cameron here, who was very happy with the bounce back for the Giants.
People are going to look at the way we lost last week, but we only scored 5 goals. I mean, they defended us really well, but our ball movement last week was really poor, and I think that we were poor in every area, but that also got lost in it as well. So it's pleasing to hit the scoreboard because the greatest pressure is scoreboard pressure. But to get in the manner we did it was the most positive. Our pressure was a lot better, clearly. And I thought, all 18 on the field had a clear understanding of defending the ground a bit better than what we did last week. And we obviously clearly practiced it, but we still need a fair bit of work to do in that area, because if we're going to be a really good team, you know, with the Geelong, Collingwoods and West Coast, then we need to make sure our defence continues to improve over the next month or two.
Leon Cameron speaking there after the demolition of Carlton. Sam Doherty will join us, the co-captain, after 8 this morning. Will be very interesting to hear what he has to say. Lots to get through on the Breakfast Club. Make sure you stick around half Whitey and BJ to take you through your Monday morning after the 6 o'clock news.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.